All right, welcome back to the Business Writers Conference, brought to you by Business Writers Exchange, broadcasting live here from the Renaissance Birmingham Ross Bridge Golf Resort and Spa. Stone Peyton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. We have had a ball all day. We have talked to so many bright, passionate people, some in, I think, every stage of their project. Lee, some of them are ready to go to press almost. Some of them have just released a book. Some are just beginning to think through how they want to articulate the idea and get it to proposal stage. I've learned a lot just sitting here asking questions, haven't you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this conference. This is the second annual Business Writers Conference. And it seems that this year, it seems somehow they have even better speakers and conference members. And it just seems like it's a deeper kind of bench that they put together in this round.
Well, I'll tell you something else. The food has been fantastic. Shrimp and grits last night. Had seafood just a little while ago, complimented with some mousse. So, everything's coming up stone on this visit, I got to tell you. And this next segment is no exception. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast HR Turnaround Specialist, Organizational Effectiveness and Workforce Development with FCW LLC, Mr. Foster Williams. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, and thank you for inviting me here.
Now, Foster, a turnaround expert, how do you get into that line of work? Like, something must be going wrong, and they go, well, let Foster take a swing at fixing that. Like, what, your first one's got to be the weirdest one, right?
Yes, and you probably don't even know you're in it when it happens. As a young man, I was willing to run to the fire when there was a problem. They said, who wants to go and try and fix it? I'd be one of the firemen that would run to the fire, so to speak. And when you get a volunteer, it seems that senior people really appreciate you.
Now, was that something, what made you want to do that?
That's a great question. And part of the process I'm going through and thinking about writing a book is what's driven me to act that way. And it's probably attributable to my family upbringing. My father had his own business, and it ultimately demised, and and he was looking for some help. And I was willing to help. So it's just seemed to come natural for me.
And you were able to kind of diagnose the situation and help improve the situation?
Typically, yes. You know, it's never a single person that diagnoses the organizational dilemma. It's usually a team effort. But in my interest areas, I've evolved to be pretty competent at it.
Now, have you worked for large organizations that had maybe divisions that were doing poorly and they would just ship you out to those poor performing divisions and then you kind of honed your craft in that environment?
That is exactly how it happened, yes, with some large international and domestic companies being dispatched to a troubled location or group and helping the local leadership find their way out of the woods.
Now, doing that for, I would guess, more than a few years, you kind of learned some do's and don'ts or have seen some kind of common mistakes. Is that true?
That's very true. In fact, there's real common patterns that occur, and there seems to be, I don't know why, but an unconscious hesitancy to address these patterns that occur until they become troublesome enough that you know, as we call it, a burning platform is underway, and then people start to pay attention and change occurs.
Now, is it possible for a company to, in some ways, look like everything's fine, but structurally there could be some problems brewing?
Oh, of course. In fact, one of the lines I like to use is all my clients are playing in constructive fear all the time, that there's something going wrong somewhere, so let's get on top of it.
So now, how does it work? So the you're working with a company, they're having some problems, I guess, and they go, we better call Foster and his team now to take a look at what's going on. And what's the first thing you typically do?
Great question. All of my work at the present time comes from executive colleagues I've worked with in the past who are now on in other organizations. Mm-hmm. And they're not interested in a large consulting organization. They want an individual. And so when you say me and my crew, it's me.
It's you.
It's me. but I would say I'm backed up by a great crewmate who is my wife, who is in effect running the office and keeping things organized. But I go in, and my focal point when there is a dilemma in the business is I want to spend time with the frontline supervisor and the person they report to.
As quickly as possible. So you don't want to spend a lot of time like high up in the organization. You want to get down and dirty.
Yes, sir. I think frequently the folks up at the top can see some metrics that are indicators of dilemmas, mm-hmm. but the root cause of what's causing that dilemma, they don't know. And my job is to get down there and find out.
Because they're looking at maybe numbers in the spreadsheet, and you're talking to human beings.
That is correct, sir.
You probably get information a little faster that way.
I do, and I, you know, I seem to be credible with them. There's some unique things about my background that others find interesting and can start a conversation, and the next thing you know, they're opening up about what the real dilemmas are that are interfering with success.
Now, do they ever give you that call and they say, we need you to come fix Bob? Do they ever say that? And if they do, are they ever right, or are they usually kind of missing the mark with that in the first place?
Sometimes, historically, when I've been a regular full-time employee in an organization, I'll get a call like that. And it's typically because they're confused. I've discovered that if it's a technical performance issue, Bob's not knowledgeable about something, they'll just take care of it. But when it's a behavioral performance issue that they can't make sense of, then they call in a witch doctor like me who tries to help them figure out what's the real root cause dilemma here, and can we do something about it?
And then you tell them it's not Bob, it's you. You ever had to do that?
Yeah. You've been to the movie. Yes, indeed, that happens frequently, is Bob's behavior is, in effect, a symptom of something that is much more significant going on in the area, and that is more true than you know.
Now, in the course of your career, I would imagine at first you started doing this a little bit, and then you started doing it more often than not, and you're like, maybe I should just be doing this. Is that how it progressed?
Yeah, you know, like a lot of folks, it sneaks up on you unconsciously. In the land before the internet, there were magazines, and I was not only had a full-time job, but I was a professional hockey referee. And so on the weekends, I'd be on the road refereeing games. And
so you're used to chaos and fights. So this everything works arm in arm.
Yes, and I'm a whistleblower, so I know how to blow the whistle. But what I would do is write articles on real circumstances, situation, action, results, lessons learned. And they would show up in the local industry trade magazines just for content.
But you were doing this as a way just to serve your community?
Pretty much, yeah. And my employer at the time was very supportive of it because it was in our industrial trade magazines.
Right.
Yeah. And that led to unpaid speaking engagements, right, which I enjoyed to do. And then that led to a headhunter calling one day and saying, there's a big problem project and they're looking for an understudy to a senior guy, and would you be willing to move to this obscure location? And fortunately, I could, and I did, and I would say it was, an ESPN turning point in my career, and it was a marvelous experience.
And that goes to the premise of a lot of stuff that's happening here at the Business Writers Conference with Jack Phillips and Patty Phillips, where they're saying that writing, being an authority, speaking, those are all important tools to grow someone's career.
Indeed.
And so you've seen that play out. I mean, maybe you didn't go and do that kind of on purpose, but that's what the results were.
Yeah, well, I have two young lads, and I talk to them about the value of volunteerism, you know, whether it's volunteering within your organization or volunteering in your community. You develop some competencies that you don't even know you're developing at the time. And if you're a natural extrovert, which I am, and I don't mind getting out there, and I don't mind people saying I'm wrong. but I do like to work at things and work at problems and try and solve them. You know, I initially started out as a mathematician, and I still enjoy math, but the most complex math I can work on is human math, and so that's what really draws me to it.
Right, so you look at it as a puzzle you're solving.
Yes, sir. I really do look at it that way.
Now, now that you've been here and you've kind of gotten the feel for the different elements of writing a book, are you still on board with the book writing process?
Oh, boy, that's a great question. So I came here on Monday for the pre-conference.
The boot camp, right?
Yes, sir. And I have to tell you, I was overwhelmed by the value of the information. I knew what the word editor meant, but I didn't know what editors actually do and the stages of editing. I didn't know what a publicist was. I've heard the word, but what is it? And so as you learn these things and smart people challenge you with questions about what your book could be, I don't know if other people are going through it, but I'm going through swings and roundabouts where intense enthusiasm for I can hardly wait to get started to, oh my gosh, this is a significant thing, and I want my book to be meaningful and have impact and be different than what other people write. So, you know, there's a lot to take in and a lot to consider, but this is the place to come to take inventory, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm thinking that what you really want is to have written a book. Not necessarily to write a book. You just want to have written a book. Is that a better description of the actual goal?
Possibly, yes.
I think that's my goal.
Yeah, you know, I like anything you do for the first time, like a radio interview. There's trepidation going in, and then you have the experience, and then it's a lot easier the second time. You know, my first professional hockey game, I probably lost 10 pounds in the dressing room. but once you get through the game, you realize that you're okay. You've got the skill. You can work at this level. And so I think book writing is a lot like that. And to hear people like Jack and Patty and Elaine talk about the number of books they've written. Now it's a routine. It's a pattern that they can follow, and they're skilled at it, and they know all the different roles and responsibilities. I'm going through that process now of understanding all that, and I got to say it's exciting.
Now,
You're going to just let the whole professional hockey thing just slide? You're not going to ask about that?
Well, maybe his book was about professional hockey.
Did you play professional hockey?
No, I refereed.
You referee.
I grew up, I'm a Canadian, so.
They have to.
We
it's
have
part,
to play.
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah, I would have been disbarred from the family if I hadn't tried. But I had a good coach, and he said, you skate well, you're a big boy, you got no hands. So.
Refereeing's
for
you.
And he was, it was a great suggestion. And I, you know, like Forrest Gump, I was drawn to it like bees to honey, and it's a very meaningful chapter in my career, and I still referee youth hockey.
Do you still do it just for fun?
Oh, of course, yeah. It's great fitness.
And then, but the book though is going to be about your turnaround experiences and the kind of the do's and don'ts for leadership or somewhere in that kind of genre.
Yes, sir. I have two types of clients today. One client has got some problems in their backyard, and there's a couple of them like that. And so they're looking for some creative ideas from an individual that can help them find their way out of the woods. Mm-hmm. I have another client that is a growth company, and the gentleman that was the founder is retiring and turning the business over to his son. And
that always goes well, right?
It is. It's going pretty good in this instance because the son's very educated, but he's also very open-minded guy, and he's open to coaching. And so I was actually brought in this instance by the CFO who knows me from days gone by. And so what we're doing is studying causes of failure, if you will, and what corrective measures can we take today that will improve the durability, sustainability, and profitability of the business. And that's the bottom line of what I do. I'm a capitalist through and through, and I want to help my clients be durable, sustainable, and profitable.
Now, is there something, can you walk into a business and see pretty quickly if there's problems or problems brewing?
Yes, I can. It's one of the attributes that you get from being a professional sports official is you learn to listen well with your eyes. And I want to be on the shop floor. I want to meet the frontline employees. I want to meet the supervisors. And I do walkabouts. And as I take information in, I start to ask some questions that are open-ended but are also developed over a long career. I'm 35 plus years into my career. So I have a series of questions I like to ask, but I ask them in a gentle and prodding way, and then I listen. And they'll tell me as much as I'm prepared to stand there and take in. And so what I end up looking for over several conversations is the key themes or patterns that are coming out, and then we start to investigate them.
And then, so your system, as opposed to like some of these, you know, name brand consulting firms, it's probably less expensive and more efficient, and you probably get closer to the truth much faster.
Well, I wouldn't want to disparage mm-hmm. them because I've been part of companies that have used them in the past.
That's good job security for
and
you.
And we've used them successfully. most of my clients, because they're either small business on a growth plan or they're large business and they're they got issues,
right.
They got tight budgets. And that's where the independent contractor fits in. And you know, my day rate, my hourly rate, and that sort of thing are very favorable compared to the big right. companies.
Look, we met a guy in Atlanta where we have a studio that his whole job is fixing $3,000 nose jobs. That's all. You know. So for
it's
you,
true though. Now he's telling you the truth.
So now you're in this book writing process. Have you decided to do it yet, or you're still on the fence?
Swings and roundabouts, you
so
know,
there's still two more days, right? So
yeah,
you go either way.
Yeah. I think at the end of day one of boot camp, man, I was on board and I was starting to frame the chapters. What's the purpose of the book? Who's my target audience? What's the market size? You know, and I know I'm after companies that are $1 million plus to, you know, global. And I'm also after companies where the business leaders, whether it's the owner or the hired people, they're constructively fearful. They're concerned and they want help. And when they do, I'm the kind of guy that can come in with a breadth of experiences and creativity. I do a lot of work with visuals to get people's attention. And I'm also very conscious of literacy and making sure that anything we write is understandable by that frontline supervisor, because that's who I want to get to, and I want to help them be successful.
Now, do you have certain industries or niches that you specialize in?
Historically, I've been in oil and gas at the production and processing ends, but I've also worked in telecommunications and a lot of manufacturing, and you know, now I'm in a very unique business that is interesting to me is chicken farms and the equipment that goes inside of them. And so I used to think I was in specific industries, and I've come to realize that my competencies and knowledge don't actually know an industry. They know people and they know process. And once we get into that, we can figure out what the dilemma is and start working on it.
So these turnaround strategies are kind of industry agnostic?
Yeah, indeed they are.
Now for the book, is it going to be where you're kind of going over the 10 mistakes people make, or is it going to be kind of more esoteric than that?
I think that's a great question, and I haven't landed on an answer. I've been thinking about it in terms of the life cycle of employment. I've been thinking about it in terms of, you know, what competencies do the frontline supervisors need to be successful in any business. I've been coming at it from a lot of different angles, and that's one of the values of the workshop and the conference, is it gets you thinking about your message and how does it differentiate from the myriad of other books that are out there, and you know, makes your message resonate with some people.
Now, what would you tell an aspiring author or maybe a consultant who is considering using having a book as a way to help them build their business or grow their personal brand? Would you recommend a conference like this?
Oh, undoubtedly. You know, I'm going to use some trainer speak here. I was unconsciously incompetent. I didn't know what I didn't know. And through this process, I'm learning, you know, that I'm consciously incompetent, and I'm starting to develop some competencies or knowledge about the whole book process. I've had a couple of fun conversations here. You know, what is an editor? What does an editor do? There are different stages of editing, which I didn't even think about. Then there's a publicist role. What is a publicist? What are their roles and responsibilities? How do they support the author? So you start to learn a lot about the language of the business and the meanings of those terms, as well as the process of taking it from your thoughts to putting it on paper to a proposal to either getting a publisher or self-publishing. And these are all things I had no clue about 3 days ago.
These are all puzzle pieces for you.
They are indeed, yeah.
And you're figuring out how they all fit together.
They are, and that's a nice visual metaphor for anybody. If you don't know the puzzle, you better know the puzzle before you start writing the book.
All right, so where can our listeners go to learn more, maybe have a conversation with you about some of this work? Email, phone number, whatever's appropriate, LinkedIn.
Okay, well, LinkedIn, it's Foster C. Williams, and phone number is 281-889-7254. And I've really appreciated the opportunity to share these thoughts.
Hey, you've made this a lot of fun, man. Foster, keep up the good work. Write that book. I think there's more than one in you. And this has been a real pleasure. This has been a fun, informative conversation, man. I look forward to sitting down with you again. We'll talk about the book that's already out and the next one you got coming. How's that sound?
You crack me up, but okay, I'm on it.
All right. We'll be back in a few from the Business Writers Conference, brought to you by Business Writers Exchange.